Blog Talk Radio.
Go.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I'm Dr. John Newsom. First of all, I'd like to say hello to Apostle Dr. Willie Hunter and to all those who are listening all around the world.
Amen.
I'm Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center, Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. My service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m., and our Wednesday night Bible studies are at 7 p.m. Come by and worship with us. I'd love to see your face in the place. This coming Sunday at 2 p.m., I'll be having my pastor's anniversary, and I'll be celebrating 19 years of pastoring, and I'd love for you all to come by. That's this Sunday at 2 p.m. I'm looking forward to seeing you, Apostle.
I'll be there.
Glory to God. That's this coming Sunday at 2 p.m. And glory to God. Well, how are you doing today, Apostle?
I'm blessed. I'm not gonna get stressed. I'm blessed.
Wait. You say blessed and not stressed, huh?
Yes, sir.
That's the way to be. Oh, glory to God. Well, the word tonight is when all seems lost. When all seems lost. Have you ever been hit on every side and it just looked like it's over? All is lost?
Yeah.
Well, I'm here to tell you that that's a lie from hell. It's not all over. There's a saying in the world, it's not over until the fat woman sings. I haven't heard the fat woman sing. It's not over. Oh, glory to God. I tell you, it can appear like you're backed up into a corner and can't get out, but I'm telling you, when you have God on your side, it's not over. Oh, glory to God. That's what I'll be talking about tonight, what to do when it seems like it's over. There's no hope. There's no way out. There's no way I can accomplish this. There's no way I can build this business. There's no way I can build this ministry. There's just no hope. And that's what the message is about tonight, what to do when it seems like all is lost. There's no hope. It's all over. Now, I'll be reading from Acts chapter 27. Paul is a prisoner headed to Rome for legal matters. And a storm comes up at sea. And it looks like it's all over. It looks like they're about to die at sea. It looked like it's all over. But they did took some certain steps and survived. They made it to land. And Paul did make it to Rome because they took certain steps that are in the Word of God. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Now, it might seem in your life, it might seem like, well, it's too old. I'm too old now. Too many years have passed by. It's all over. I don't have no hope. All is lost. God sent me to tell you that it's not over. It's not all lost. You're going to make it. You're going to build that business. You're going to build that radio station. You're going to finish building that church. You're going to finish prospering your family. It's not over. And so that's the message. When all seems lost, what do you do? What do you do when all seems lost? Acts chapter 27, and let's read verses 13 through 25. Now remember, Paul is on a ship. He's a prisoner, and he's on his way to Rome. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempest wind called Heraclidon. You know, they name storms today. The name of this storm was Heraclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. and running under a certain land, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, struck sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Now, then the ship in the sea, and a storm has come up at sea, and now they're throwing things overboard to lighten the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They're throwing things overboard now. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now they're in a ship, Paul and the rest of the crew. They're in a ship, and they're headed to Rome. And a storm has come up at sea. And they haven't seen the sun nor the moon for many days. They're throwing things overboard. They're lightening the ship, lightening the load. And they're being tossed to and fro in the sea, on the ship, in a storm. And all hope of them being saved was lost. It seemed like it was all over. It seemed like all was about to be lost. But after long abstinence, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have listened to me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." Paul said, "You should have listened to me. I told you not to sail. I told you." And so Paul is saying, "I told you so." And now Paul says, "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. But the ship. The ship will be destroyed, but no one will die. Oh, glory to God. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." An angel was sent by God to talk to Paul in the ship in the middle of a storm. Oh, glory to God. Isn't it good news to know that God knows how to get word to you when you're going through a storm? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Ah, that's wonderful news that God can reach you even in a storm. No matter how bad the storm is, you can be being tossed here and there and being hit on every side, but God is faithful. He knows how to get word to you in the middle of your storm. Oh, glory to God. Some of us are going through storms with our bodies. Some are going through storms with our finances. Some of us are going through storms in our families. There's different types of storms, but the same God. The same God, the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He's able to get an encouraging word to you in the midst of your storm. Isn't that wonderful news? When all seems hope, when all seems lost, God knows how to get word to His children. Paul said, "Fear not, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Now, God sent an angel to Paul and told Paul that everything's going to be all right. I'm going to save you, Paul, and all of them that are sailing with you. I'm going to save them. I'm going to save you. I'm going to save them. So Paul, he went and shared that with everyone that was on the ship. Now go down to verse 31, and let's read verse 31 and 32. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Except you continue your assignment that God has you on, you cannot be saved." Oh, glory to God. Paul says, stay on the ship. Don't jump ship. Don't quit your business. Don't quit calling. Don't quit doing what God has called you to do. Don't quit the ministry. Don't walk away from your church. You can only be saved if you stay with the assignment that God has you on. Oh, glory to God. Look at verse 32. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. They stayed on the ship. Now, like Paul had encouraged them to do. Now, let's see if they made it to land. Look at verse 44. Verse 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. All of them made it safe to land because they made it, they stayed on the ship. And it was there were certain things that they did in order to remain alive, in order to make it to land. When all seems lost, number one, be of good cheer. Oh, glory to God. To the men on the ship, and said, be of good cheer. I tell you, it doesn't do you any good to lose courage and to fall into a deep depression. I tell you, be of good cheer. That's the first step to people are quitting, is when they fall into depression, when they decide, I'm going to be depressed and lose courage. You're taking the first step to quitting. But no. They stayed with the ship, and they were of good cheer. Number one, when all seems lost, be of good cheer. I tell you, the scripture says that a merry heart, I tell you, good things happen when you got to choose yourself. You got to choose it with your will. You got to make up your mind. I'm going to be of good cheer. The scripture, that's so powerful, being of good cheer. The scripture says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I tell you, be of good cheer. And look at Acts chapter 27 and verse 22. That's what Paul told those who were on the ship. He says, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. So number one, when all seems lost, number one, be of good cheer. Oh, glory to God. Count it all joy, James chapter 1, verse 2 says. Count it all joy when you encounter different trials and tribulations. The scripture goes on to say, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I tell you, you've got to be strong and very courageous. You've got to be of good cheer. That's what God told Joshua. He said, be strong and very what? Courageous. Just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Oh, glory to God. All of you who are listening all around the world, he's with you in your business. He's with you in your ministry. He's with you in your family. You're trying to lead and take care of your family. God is with you. Be of good cheer. Oh, glory to God. And number two, Paul told those who were on the ship, he says, fear not. Oh, glory to God. Fear not. I tell you, you don't want to go over into fear. You don't want to ever go over into fear. Fear is fear is released by a demon spirit. It's a demon spirit that comes to torment you. Because the scripture tells us over in Timothy, the scripture said, for I have not given you, God has not given you a spirit of fear. So if God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, where is it coming from? It's coming from Satan. It's a demon spirit that comes to torment you and cause you to get off course in God. Fear not. That's what Paul told those who were on the ship during the storm. He says, fear thou not. Fear not. Look what he says in Acts chapter 27 and verse 23 and 24. For there stood by me this night, Paul said, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not. God sent a message by the angel and told Paul to fear not. Paul went and told all those who were on the ship with him in the storm to fear not. Oh, glory to God. And that's what God has sent me to tell you tonight. Fear not. Fear thou not. Now, the scripture tells us, the scripture tells us For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and love and a sound mind. Oh, glory to God. So if God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, you know it's coming from Satan. Don't take it. Don't accept it. Just as simple as that. Fear not. You can see it all throughout the Bible. Fear thou not. That's a tormenting spirit that's coming, trying to get you off course, trying to get you to throw in the towel. Fear thou not. Oh, glory to God. Just like God said he was with Moses, God is with you. Just like God was with Joshua, God is with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you even until the end of time. Oh, glory to God. Fear thou not. Look at Isaiah chapter 43. Hallelujah. When all seems lost, we're looking at what to do when all seems lost, like it seems like it's all over, but it's not all over. What do you do? Number one, be of good cheer. And number two, fear not. Oh, glory to God. Look at Isaiah chapter 43, and let's read verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. God said, fear not. You belong to me. Oh, glory to God. We don't have to fear. We belong to God. Hallelujah. He told Jacob, fear not. Fear not, you old worm. Hallelujah. In one scripture, he called him a worm. Hallelujah. He said, fear thou not, old worm, you worm. Jacob, don't fear. You're mine. You belong to me. I'm going to take care of you. Oh, glory to God. When all seems lost, be of good cheer. When all seems lost, fear not. You don't have to run from anyone. Oh, glory to God. You don't have to be afraid of any man, of any situation. Fear not. Look at Isaiah chapter 35. Glory to God. Isn't God's word wonderful? Isaiah chapter 35. Hallelujah. When all seems lost, what do you do when all seems lost? Number one, be of good cheer. Number two, fear not. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 4, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Oh, glory to God. Fear not. God says, I'll come and save you. You've got to know that God will come and what? Save you. Oh, glory to God. I like Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. God will come and save you. And that's what happened to Paul and all those who were on the ship sailing to Rome with the Apostle Paul. God came and saved them. Oh, glory to God. Fear not and be of good courage. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Joshua, look at Joshua. Turn to Joshua chapter 1 and read verse 9. Look what God says. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh, glory to God. No matter what you're facing, child of God, God is with you, whatever you're in, wherever you go. God is with you, and you saw in the scripture that he's with you to save you. Oh, glory be to God. God's not going to leave you comfortless. God's not going to let you stay down. God's going to save you. He's going to redeem you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He saved you before. He's going to save you again. Oh, glory to God. When all seems lost, be of good cheer. When all seems lost, fear not. And my final point, believe God. We know too much about God to be given up. We know too much about God. God saved us before. God's blessed us before. God's healed our bodies before. God's gotten us out of a bind before. When all things seem lost, this is what you do. You cheer up. Be of good cheer. And number two, fear not. You don't have to be afraid of any man, of any woman, or anything. God has not given you, child of God, a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. When all seems lost, be of good cheer. When all seems lost, fear not. And when all seems lost, believe God. Glory to God. Look at Acts chapter 27. And let's read verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, Paul is talking to those who are on the ship with him. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. It's going to be just like God told me. God said he was going to save us. It's going to be exactly that way. Oh, glory to God. God says that I'm going to make it to Rome to stand before Caesar. It's going to be exactly that way. God says I'm going to finish building this radio station. It's going to happen just like that. God says I'm going to finish building this church. It's going to happen just like that. God says he's going to restore my family and we're going to be all right. It's going to happen, child of God, just like God told you. Be of good cheer and fear not and believe God. The scripture tells us in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, that all things are possible to them that believe it. Oh, glory to God. So much power is released when a man or woman believes God. You're not going to stay sick when you believe that with his stripes you are healed. You're not going to stay broke when you sick and believe the scripture that he became poor that we may be rich. You're not. You're not going to stay defeated and depressed. Oh, no, glory to God. When you believe God's word, when you believe that he's going to save you, he's going to deliver you, he's going to take care of you, glory to God. So much power is released when a man or woman chooses to believe God. Oh, glory to God. You're not going to stay lost when you believe God. You're not going to stay sick when you believe God. You're going to believe his word, that with his stripes you are healed. You're not going to stay in poverty. I used to be in poverty. I used to be in poverty and strung out on drugs. But I heard the word of God and I chose to believe God's word. I'm not in poverty anymore. I'm not sick anymore, and I'm not lost and on my way to hell anymore. Why? Because I chose to believe God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that those who come to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder to them who diligently seek him. It's impossible to please God, the scripture says, without faith. Glory to God. When all seems lost, child of God, if you want to win, if you want to come out on top, choose to believe God. When all seems lost, be of good cheer. When all seems lost, fear not. When all seems lost, believe God. And that's the word God wanted me to give to you tonight. Apostle?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I tell you, the name was a great name. Woo-wee, I wrote down what I wanted to print out, the whole thing. And I've been taking notes like 900. My good teaching.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, we got a voice from the past that's coming up to us right now. He ain't been on that ship, but he has a voice. Hello, Pastor. How you doing?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing great, Pastor. Good to hear your voice.
Oh, praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Man, I'll tell you what. I miss being on the air.
We miss you. We miss you, brother.
Yeah.
We miss you. I've been keeping up with you. You did a great work over there in Africa.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It wasn't me alone. I mean, there was a team of people that were there.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it's the grace of God that put us all together, that we went over there and tried to make a difference in the people's lives. And you know, the blessings is more than I can even imagine, you know. And it, a lot of times, you know, when we say the blessings, we look for the financial blessings, but, you know, and we're looking for, you know, God's going to whatever else, and you know, he's going to compensate us. You know, he can't compensate me for what the relationships I developed while I was over there, and the everything else that I've learned about the Kenya and the people in Kenya and the people in Uganda. And there's just no way. I mean, it was just wonderful. It was a great trip. We got to with the medical team we took. We were able to see over 700 people, and we're able to treat them and get medicine to them and stuff like that. You know, yeah. And in those two countries, going to the doctor is free, but the medications it's so expensive that the people can't afford it.
Wow.
And then a lot of the vials that they use for shots is contaminated, because they stick the needle in and they draw it out for one, and then they stick the needle in another vial and pull that out and shoot you if you have to have two shots or whatever. So they contaminated all their drugs. You know, not all the doctors, but there's a lot of them that do that just because of the cost saving to them. And you know, like in Uganda, the average income for the people in Uganda is $900 a year.
Wow.
What?
So you get $900 a year. That's the average income for people in Uganda, and it's not much different than that in Kenya. So we understand, being in those countries and the poverty, and there's a lot of metropolis cities that are thriving and so on and so forth. But for the majority of the people, I purposely didn't take pictures of the mud shacks and the other stuff. I mean, we were in places that there was no electricity, no running water, there was nothing. They still lived under with candles and candlelight and stuff like that. I mean, to drive 50 miles, sometimes it took us 3 hours because the roads were so bad in certain places. So, but there's still a lot of good things in there, you know. But when we got back into them places, there was a lot of firsts. For me and for a lot of people there. I mean, the first time I was ever in Africa, and yet when I was there, sometimes I was the first white person that ever stepped foot into one of their churches.
Really?
The first white person that ever sat down and ate dinner with the pastors. I went to one church. I was the first at both of those, and they had a young couple just had a baby. It was their first baby, and the first time, or not first time they were in the church, but it was the first young couple that had been married in their church. So I was the first one to dedicate the baby to the Lord, and so that was a great honor for me to do that. But there was a lot of firsts, and it was just ongoing. And at one point, all the kids, they'd never seen a white man before, and I was sitting there playing with them and shaking their hands and talking to them and laughing with them and dancing with them
Wow!
And everywhere I went, and they were just enjoying it. And then after I got done preaching at one place, they says we had lunch, and he says we're going to go to the town square marketplace. He says you're going to preach there, and I said okay. So I started off preaching, and I got about 4 or 5 minutes into the message, and I just stopped. I said, Lord, there's just something not right about this. And I just happened to glance over, and I seen this little girl sitting on a railing in the marketplace, and there was about 40 kids, 45 kids sitting with her. And And I stopped my message, and I walked over, and I says, "Hi, honey." I said, "What's your name?" She told me, and I says, "You want to go to heaven?" She goes, "Yes." I said, "You know how to get there?" She says, "No." And I said, "Well, just repeat after me." I said, "Say, say Jesus." And she repeated it. I says, "Will you come into my life?" And she repeated it. I says, "Now, will you just say, ask Jesus, will you forgive me for being, with all the bad things I've done?" And she repeated it. And I says, "Now say, Jesus, will you come into my life and be my Lord and Savior?" And she repeated it. And I threw my hands up. And I says, "Oh, praise God, you get to go to heaven." And she had a smile come on her face. And I asked another one there, and who else? And little boy raised his hand. I repeated it to that. And then I did the same thing. And I said, "Who else wants to go?" And all the children raised their hands. And I said, "Well, come on." So I put them all down in a circle in front of me on the ground. And I did the same thing. And I began to minister to all the kids. And all the pastors were sitting there watching me. And their mouths just fell open. I was like, "You just got all our kids here saved and going to heaven." And I sat there and I prayed over the kids, which I knew that the children themselves really didn't quite understand what they did, but God knew, He understood.
Yes,
but God stopped
right.
me in my God stopped me in that message just for those kids.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So and it was ongoing. Everywhere I went it was something similar to that effect that with a lot of the other children and other people, you know. And it was great. I mean, I was so blessed to be able to be a part of all that and to do those things. And
all the people nice over there, Pastor?
Oh yeah. Oh great. But you know, here's something you gotta understand now. Look, check this out. On the average, they have church 5 to 7 days a week.
Oh, glory to God.
Some churches go 24 hours a day. Some pastors preach for 3.5 to 4 hours, have lunch, go back and continue preaching, and then have dinner, then go home.
What? Wow! So
we can barely get people to come for an hour and a half here in the States.
Wow! You said that right. You said that right, Bishop.
We were preaching and there was 1, 2, 3, 4 of us, and each of us were preaching in different churches and different settings and different every night of the week.
Oh my God, man!
I preach two times. I preach in one place in the morning, and I preach in another place in the evening. So
that's awesome.
And
it was 4 months.
Yep. So you know, like I said, we're wondering what's going on here in this United States. We're seeing it falling away, but we see an increase of people coming to the Lord. You know, and the sad thing is, a lot of them people have nothing. You know, I mean, I'll go to places and they literally have nothing. And I go into their houses and they take my shoes and polish my shoes.
And they have no electricity?
No electricity. They would polish my shoes and they make sure and I would ask them, they would just take it and they would just go clean it. They would do it. And it was the ongoing servants of their hearts. The women would come and with a little pan of water and a vase and you wash your hands before you eat dinner and before you had breakfast and they came every day. It was like that, and no matter where we went. And I was just,
so they
I was just going, yeah.
They were.
I was just taken back. I'm going, wow. I said, does America have a lot to learn?
Whoa,
I felt, you know, like, you don't need to do this. And they went, no, let's do this. And so instead of offending them, you know, you just go ahead and you let them do it.
That's right.
and so it was beautiful. I mean, the whole trip, you know. But like I said, the salvations we had, and then being able to treat those people for the medications and get things going. But in Uganda, when we got to Uganda, what's that noise?
In Uganda,
when I got to these pastors were asking me, says, can you go to Garland or Garlo, as GULU, I think Golo or something like that. And I said, what's going on there? And it's in the northern part of Uganda, on the border of South Sudan. And they said they started a refugee camp. And I sat there and I said, well, because of our schedules were so tight, I couldn't go. And they were telling me about it. And what they have done is the president of South Sudan, he said, we're not going to interfere with humanitarian aid, and we're not going to interfere with the workers coming in to be able to go into the camps in South Sudan to be able to take care of the refugees. So, but for me, at that point, it would, except for every worker who went into the camp, whether you went in there for a day, a week, or whatever, it was $100. So if five of us went in, it would have been $500, $100 for each worker that went in. But what the president did, he had raised the price $1,000 per person. To go into the refugee camps and to be able to help to work, whether you were there for a day or a week or a month, it was $10,000. So, of course we know the UN has been fighting with them to release the food and the medications and all the supplies that's been going there for years, because the government's been withholding a lot of it. The United States has cut back on their foreign aid because of the corruption and the same thing. So a lot of them people now have left the Sudan and have crossed the border into Uganda and then into a country. The average wage is $900 a year, and the people are gladly accepting these people to come into their country and trying to take care of them. And I want you to keep me in prayer, because when I found that out, I sit there and I got people over there now that I'm trying to work up something so that I can go back, and hopefully with the medical team that went with us, I got to get with the sister in a couple of weeks and talk with her and see if she'd be able to work it so that she can go back and we can go back into the camps over in Uganda and bring some kind of relief effort. And I'm trying to get right now. This is only in the last week or so, so everything's preliminary. I'm trying to get fact-finding stuff and work it up so that if we go back over, we want to be able to go back over there and take care of the things that they need. And just keep me in prayer on that, and then also for the finances to be able to go back. I mean, God had blessed me on this trip. But I'm going to tell you this is the truth. When I first asked to go on this trip, I really didn't have the money to go, because I was making very little money. And I sat there, and the airplane tickets were like $1,500 round trip. And I'm going, well, that's kind of high. So we waited, and it went down to about $1,100. It was still too high. It got down to $789. I had $800 in my bank account, and I sit there and I said, Lord, I'm going to go, but I have to figure out how I'm going to sit there and make my truck payment, make my insurance payment, pay my credit card, and take care of the other bills I have to take care of for last month, this month. And I drew the money out and I gave it, and I said, let's go buy the ticket. The next day, the first thing that happened is somebody came in. One person gave me $500.
Whoa.
Another person gave me $300, so it replaced the $800. Not only that, God made it so that all my bills for last month were covered, all my bills for this month was covered, and I had enough money. I had enough money to do what I had to do on the trip, so I had enough money to take care of and was able to bless people while I was there. So God, and God did it to me for then, and I know He'll do it again, because for every mission trip that I've been on, everything I've done, God has always provided. He continues to provide.
Glory to God.
And it was awesome, you know. And it was funny. We had some people from Nigeria with us. The sister, she was from, I think she's from Brazil. Of course, I'm an American, and there was some other people that were with us. Everybody got stopped at the border because you had to have a yellow card. That's for yellow fever. They crossed the border from Kenya to Uganda.
How many shots did you have to take?
Huh? None.
How many shots did you have to take?
None.
Oh, you've already had all your shots?
No, I went on faith.
Oh, they'll let you over there even though you don't get your shots?
They asked me where my yellow card was. I said, I don't have one. They said, okay. How old are you? And I said, I'm 66. And they said, okay, you can go. Everybody else got shot.
Whoa.
You see, I'm going to tell you something. I learned something doing this type of ministry. I learned because 7 years ago, I got tired of mosquitoes biting me. And God said, oh man, yeah, the malaria. I took pills for the malaria. So you take the antibiotics.
You saw mosquitoes over there?
Oh yeah, there's millions of them, but a lot of them are carrying malaria.
Oh my God.
So, but anyhow, I got the antibiotic for malaria, and I took two before I left because you're supposed to. And when I got there, God suggested, what are you doing? And I said, yeah, you're right. So I gave my malaria pills away to someone else because God was watching over me. He was protecting me.
Glory to God. And you weren't affected.
I wasn't affected. And the thing was, like I said, 6-7 years ago, I got tired of mosquitoes biting me. I sit there and Jesus sat there and says, all power that is given on to me by my Father, I have given on to you. In other words, when I received Jesus, I received the same power and the same glory that Jesus had, that knowing that I had dominion over mosquitoes. And I said, you can't bite me no more. And for the last 7 years, I have not been bit by a mosquito.
Oh, glory
people,
to God. That's a
people have
oh,
been. People have been. We're over there slapping themselves silly. In fact, next Monday on my radio show, a couple of the people that were with me over there, they're going to be on, and they'll testify to the fact they were slapping themselves silly with mosquitoes, and I was just sitting there. And they were looking at me and said, they're not bothering you. Said, no, man. I said, I need to authority over them.
My God. Please pray a prayer over me. I can't stand those boogers.
Take authority. Stand in
my
the righteousness
God.
Of Christ and take authority. You know?
And you said there were millions of them over there?
Oh, yeah. This is mosquito. Yeah, because you got Lake Victoria over there. You have the Nile River. You have, they're just coming out of the rainy season. So
the mosquitoes over there are way thicker than over here in America?
Some of the mosquitoes over there are big enough to take a chunk out of you and go sit on a fence post and gnaw it for a while.
Oh, my God.
There are some big mosquitoes over there. So, but yeah, but the ones you had to really watch out for is the ones that had malaria, because over there they carry malaria. But like I said, and I'm not bragging to
God protect,
but laughing because God did give me that part where I'm saying that that's the truth. I spoke that, and mosquitoes haven't bothered me. And then when he sat there and said, "What are you doing taking them malaria pills?" I said, "You're right." And there happened to be a girl there that I met, and she was just coming into with malaria, and she needed some antibiotics. And I said, "Here, just take these." And I gave them to her. And I never even thought twice about it because God says, "What are you doing?" I said, "You're right. You're watching over me. You're protecting me."
Praise God. That's an awesome testimony.
Yeah.
It is.
So, you know, I just went on going, you know, and it's everything I've been doing, everything, everywhere I go. You know, I was sitting there, I was preaching one time, and I sit there, and I said, you know, so many of us, we keep going to the altar and asking God for this and asking God for that, keep on turning around, and we're walking away, but we forget the fact that he said, yes, you can have it. But, you know, in the same token as saying, yes, you can have it, I got into talking about the little boy. Oh, what's that? But I got talking about the little boy who saw a bright, shiny red apple up in the tree. And he sat there and he looked at that bright, shiny apple, and he tried to climb the tree to get it, but it was too high up. So he got a stick and he tried to hit and knock the apple down, and he couldn't reach it. So every day he would go by and he happened to see that shiny apple, and he'd say, "Lord, I want that apple. Lord, I want that apple." And every day he tried to climb the tree, and every day with a stick he tried to beat it down. He couldn't beat it down. And so one day he walked by and he happened to notice that the apple was no longer in the tree. And he looked down at his feet, and the apple was laying at his feet all smashed. And he sat there and he got mad at God, and he says, "God," he says, "why? You knew I wanted that apple." And God says, "Come here, son." He says, "If I would have given you that apple, that's all you would have gotten. I want to show you what was in that apple. You see all those seeds? I wanted to give you an orchard so you could have all the red apples you wanted."
Oh, glory to God. That's good.
Yeah. And then when I stood there and I spoke those words, it opened the eyes to so many people to the understanding. It says, you know, we keep asking God for this and we keep asking God for that, but we don't realize and we're looking to see what's in our hand and not what's in God's hand. When you stop looking at what's
Amen.
In your hand, because when you're looking in your hand, you're putting mammon before God.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting your situation before God. You're looking in your hand and you're stumbling because you can't see what's in God's hands.
Hallelujah.
So when I set out and I stepped out in faith and believed, God replenished my bank account for what I needed to go and make sure all my bills were taken care of because I didn't have the money to do this. And he's
Glory
done that
to
me
God.
In so many trips, so many other places I've gone and everything else I've done. And we're over there, we're setting up programs, we're bringing people in, we've got a couple of different companies in there that will be able to train some of the unwed mothers and those who are struggling to give them a life, you know, a craft, a guy that made sandals and belts and so on. So we'll train them and let them begin to make those crafts for you. I said, and then what you need to do is to get another one and go over and open up that store you want to open up and put them in there and let them run the store. I said, you don't have to be behind the counter. You can be doing the other stuff. I said, it's a stop looking what's in your hand and begin to look what's in God's hand, because when you start to look into God's hands, prosperity is endless. But when you look what's in your
Amen.
Hand, you cannot go any further than what your eyes will let you. You can't even cross
Amen.
The road without being in fear. Because
Amen.
you're looking at the situation around you, and you're not looking at the glory of God that He has above
Amen.
You, that He says you can have. See,
when
we get into that perfect alignment with Christ, and we get in that perfect alignment with the Father, and we get in that perfect alignment, then we can start to receive from God all the things that He has for us.
Amen.
And it's not what's in our pockets. And we stop looking towards man to feed us. God said to us, come to me and buy without money. He says, come to me. You know, we go to God, but yet when we get up, we reach in our pockets to see what we have. Instead of sit there and looking to see what God has, like I said, in His hand, what He has for us. When we start to rely on God to feed us, to clothe us, when we start to rely on God to do the things in our lives that we're hoping or dreaming and we wanting to have, if we lay it into His hands, He multiplies it, He molds it, He forms it, He creates it, and He hands it back to us. But when we, every time we sit there and we try to do it ourselves, we take that piece out of His hands, and then it becomes a puzzle that we can't never figure out how it's going to work. We can never put it together because we don't have true ingredients that God has, because we keep on missing. We keep on missing a piece here. We keep missing a piece there. But if we're in alignment with God, everything is in order. Everything comes in its proper place at the proper time, that we can continue to walk in faith and believe and trust in the Lord in everything that we do. And that's where we need to stand. And the unfortunate, there was a lot of prosperity preachers that had gone over perverted the word. We see it here in the U.S. where they perverted the word, and they aligned themselves that it's all about money, and I began to preach and tell them. I said, no, it's not about money. The prosperity is what you receive in Christ. The prosperity is the Spirit of God, which is what God puts into your life, what He puts into your family, what He puts into your home, what He puts into your heart. The prosperity of God is the kingdom of heaven. I said, once you grasp a hold of it, then all things are added onto you. You can't sit there and put everything in dollars and cents because it's not going to work. In fact, you'll go broke. It's like I said, I did not have the money to go on this trip, but out of faith, I said, Lord, if this is a deal, I'm going. And I pulled the money out, and sure enough, it was a deal, because the next day I got the money, and I said, okay, Lord. And I had favor every day over there. No matter where I went, I had favor. I had favor at the borders. I had favor no matter where I did, where I went, and what I done, because I didn't go for me. I went because, and I did what God had called me and showed me to do and told me what I needed to do. And like I said, He opened my eyes to a lot of things. It's like I preached one time. I said, you know, I said, in the perspective, here in the United States, everybody believes that Africa is nothing but a bunch of mud huts and grass shacks. And I says, here I'm looking at a beautiful city. In Kampala, I'm looking at a beautiful city in Nakuru, and I says, you know, I says, but the outlying areas, yes. I says, you know, I says, I don't know who's got the bad perspective of what's going on. I says, in Hollywood, I says, here's all these white people running around naked in Africa on the TV show. And I says, that's not it. And I said, that's not us, and that's not you. I says, you know, and growing up, all we saw was Tarzan and apes and whatever else. I said, the perspective, and I said, when the missionaries have come back, they've always shown the bad, poor aspect of what's going on. I said, but that's not what's going on here. I says, you're a thriving nation. You are beautiful people. You have good things to offer. I said, but you don't have the opportunities. Let's see if we can work and make the opportunities so they'll prosper in your lives. And then that you begin to be seen, be recognized in the world that you have potential just like anybody else does. And that's where we need to be, not just in Africa, but in all nations. And even right here in Houston, even right here in Houston, we got the kids that are running the streets and the gangs and they're lost. And we can sit there and do the same thing. You know, we just show them the potential that they have and what they can be and what God is really, truly crying out for them to become, you know. And we can change the world. You know, I always say you can change the nation by changing the heart of one man. That's all it takes. That one man could be another Billy Graham, or he'd be another Martin Luther King. He'd be another George Washington, a great leader. He could be anything, you know what I mean, that would change the world. It just takes that one heart, that one person. And we don't know who it is. All we know is if we can begin to change the heart of man, we can change a nation.
What a God we serve.
Amen.
So, what a God we serve. I want to thank you tonight, my pastor. I got you on Facebook, all the place. I talked about you, put you there. I want you to know I want to thank God for both of y'all. Y'all have blessed me this day. So until the next time, may the Lord bless you and may he keep you until we meet again. Okay?
Amen. Amen. Hey, while we're on here, Dr. Hunter, I have a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine that I met there. He has a radio station that's a live TV broadcast, but also I was telling him about this program, and I said, would you be interested maybe going on air and doing a thing? And he said, yeah, he would like to. So I'd like to get together with you, and we get the information to him that maybe we can set up a program for him in Kampala to be able to minister to people.